Hello, everyone. Glad you all came here today. Today's a very special day. Today's a day that's been known as Pentecost. And maybe some of you have never really heard that word before, or you've been familiar with it for a long time. But we're going to talk about Pentecost and what it means and why this day is so important. When we celebrate Pentecost, we're remembering a day a little over 2,000 years ago that changed the world. What happened on the day of Pentecost affected each one of us and everyone else. It is a day that changed history, and it is a day that we will never forget. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all gathered together in one place." Now, this word Pentecost, this day of Pentecost, it actually was a festival. It was an annual spring festival for Jews, of which they presented their first fruits of their wheat harvest. The Jews called Pentecost the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Weeks. And in the Hebrew language, Pentecost is called Shavuot. But Pentecost is actually a Greek word. And it's transliterated into English as Pentecost, and it means 50th, because the Jews celebrated it the day after 7 weeks following the Feast of Passover, that is, the 50th day after Passover. Pentecost was one of three annual festivals at which all male Jews had to be present in the temple in Jerusalem. These three special festivals were known as Shalosh Regalim, and they were Pesach, which is Passover, Shavuot, which is Pentecost, and Sukkot, which is the Festival of Tabernacles or Tents. Now, this Pentecost, this Festival of Pentecost, had three main purposes in Judaism. One, it was a commemoration of the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Two, it was meant to be a thanksgiving to God for providing a harvest. Three, it was to actually be a time to give an offering to God, demonstrating his ownership of the wheat harvest. Now, we see later on in verse 1 here that they, the 12 apostles, were gathered together in one place. Well, this one place is most likely the Jewish courtyard in the temple, or somewhere in the temple area, as we'll see later on, because there'll be masses amount of people gathering together to hear Peter talk about what they just heard. Verse 2, here we go. This is what happened when they were gathered together. It says, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting." Now, the word house here is, it can be used for the temple or for an actual dwelling place. And to spare the details, the temple was called the House of the Lord, and sometimes referred to as the house. But because of the people that were going to be gathering there, up to 3,000 people, or more at least, because 3,000 were baptized and saved that day, it's most likely this is somewhere in the temple courtyard or temple area. Verse 3, "And divided tongues like fire, appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So on the day of Pentecost, the apostles were gathered together. All of a sudden, there's this rushing mighty wind, like a tornado swirling around, just the sound of boistering wind. And then all of a sudden, out of heaven comes this fire that comes down upon each one of the apostles. Now, wind and fire are both representations, symbolic of God's presence. There was a guy in the Old Testament named Elijah, and he experienced the fire and wind of God's presence as well. If you want to turn to 1 Kings 19, as the record goes, the evil queen Jezebel was furious that Elijah had destroyed all of her false prophets. She swore that she would get revenge, And so Elijah became afraid, and he fled into the wilderness, into the desert. He walked for an entire day. Walking. Have you guys ever walked for an entire day before? Yeah. Exhausting, isn't it? Well, he walks for an entire day and sits down under a tree and basically just comes to the end of himself and says, I give up. I've had enough. I'm done, God. I'm done with this. But an angel appeared to him and gave him some food to eat. And then Elisha got up and walked for 40 days and 40 nights. Over an entire month, he walked all the way to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. This Mount Horeb was also the same place, also called Mount Sinai, where Moses went up to speak with God and where God gave him the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone. In verse 9, in 1 Kings 19, it reads, he, Elijah, entered a cave there and spent the night. Then the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. I'm the only one left, he says. He felt isolated. And they are looking to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand in the mountain in the Lord's presence. At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountain and was shattering the cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. The wind, the earthquake, and the fire were demonstrations of God's power as he passed by Elijah, but they were only representations of God. It was only representations of his presence with Elijah. It wasn't until the voice came that Elijah experienced the Lord himself and spoke with the Lord. Let's go back to the Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. In verse 5 in Acts chapter 2, it reads, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Basically, all over the world, people came together. Like I was saying, there were three festivals. All Jews had to come to the temple in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered. They were perplexed. They were confused. They didn't know what was going on. And there were also, because each one was hearing them speak, they were hearing the apostles speak in their own language, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of them in his own native tongue? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But there were others mocking who said, they are filled with new wine. Meaning that they're drunk, aren't they? I mean, what? Listen to them babble. What do you think this is? This is goofy. Goofy gibberish. Imagine you come to the temple for the festival of Shavuot, of Pentecost. Like any other year, you're gathering in the temple with your brethren. And there is this cohort of people who start speaking in languages they should not know. They're Galileans. What does that mean? It means they're backwater ruffians. These people from Galilee were not educated. They were looked upon as being kind of the hillbillies of Judea. And yet, they're speaking all of these languages. No wonder people were like, what's going on? I mean, I would have been like, whoa! Now, to rebut this, though, some people were like, ah, they're just drunk. Don't pay any attention to those guys. Now, this is what Peter says. Verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. He's saying, listen to what I have to say. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, approximately 9 a.m. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Now, what did Joel say? Peter goes on to quote Joel, chapter 2, let's see here, verses 28 to 32. In Acts 2:17, it says, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter declares to these Jewish men that what they're hearing and what they're seeing isn't something foreign, not something weird, not some new novel mysticism. This was what Joel was talking about. Yeah. We should have seen this coming, folks. But it's not only Joel who prophesied that God would give his spirit. Other Old Testament prophets prophesied of this as well. And even John the Baptist prophesied when he said that one greater comes than I, and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. If you will continue on and read with me in verse 22, Peter continues to address and justifies the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy on the basis of the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and the exaltation of Jesus the Christ. Verse 22 says, Peter says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. You've seen these things. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Move on. Let's pick it up in verse 32. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves now are seeing and hearing. Then Peter, after defending why the Spirit has now been poured out, because Jesus has been crucified, raised from the dead, and is at the Father's right hand, and this is the time to fulfill the prophecy of Joel. Peter then proclaims this monumental truth of why Pentecost would be a day that we would never forget. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off. Everyone that the Lord our God will call to himself. What a day that must have been to hear and see the fulfillment of that prophecy of the pouring out of God's Spirit. It was the message of the gospel that Peter preached, that there is hope of forgiveness and hope of a future, and that God's Spirit now dwells with humankind. To all those who God calls to himself, Pentecost was a day that will be remembered for generations to come. If you'll turn to Joshua chapter 4 in the Old Testament, there are many days in history that are significant and meaningful, and many days that will live on in the memory of God's people. And one of those such days was the day when God's people entered the land that he had promised them. Now in Joshua 4, Joshua was the leader of Israel. Israel was a nation of people that God had delivered from slavery in the land of Egypt. And Joshua, after Moses passed away, brought the children of Israel, he brought that nation to the Jordan River. And God had told him to have the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant to go into the river. When the priests' feet touched the Jordan River, its waters ceased flowing and it dried up. Then all the children of Israel crossed over into the land of Canaan on dry ground. And therefore, God instructed Joshua to have a representative from all the 12 tribes go pick up a stone from where the priests were standing, and they were to pile it up and place it in a pile where they camped that night, which would be Gilgal. This 12-stone memorial was intended to remind Israel what God did that day when he dried up the Jordan and Israel crossed over into the promised land. And it says in verse 20 of Joshua 4, "And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" The children of Israel finally made it to the land of Canaan, that land that God had promised so long ago. It was finally the fulfillment of a promise. And there was a memorial that they were supposed to set up to remember what that day meant. Peter's proclamation about Joel's prophecy, where God promised that he would pour out his Spirit upon all humankind, had finally come to fulfillment on Pentecost. It was on Pentecost that God let the fire rain down from heaven upon the apostles first, and then later on, upon 3,000 people that day. It was on the day of Pentecost that this all started, and it continues to this day. It was a day that marks what God has done so that all people may know that there is a God who is faithful to his promises and keeps his covenant with his people. Pentecost was the day when God poured out his Spirit so that all who believe would be adopted as his children. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you believe in the Lord Jesus and repent of your sins, you will be baptized into Christ and God will pour out his Spirit upon you. When something so extraordinary, so unprecedented happens, that usually becomes a day that people will never forget. There have been many days in history that people won't forget. One day in the history of this nation happened in the spring of 1775. Over near Boston, Massachusetts, in the middle of the night, 700 soldiers marched toward a city called Lexington. It's approximately 20 miles away from Boston, and they were en route to a place called Concord as well, on the other side of Lexington, in order to confiscate colonial weapons and to arrest rebel leaders there. As these British soldiers approached Lexington near daybreak, as the sun was just beginning to come above the horizon in the sky, they approached Lexington to only find themselves confronted with 77 colonial militiamen. These militiamen were lying in wait for the British army to come because the night before they had heard word that the British were coming. A man by the name of Paul Revere had ridden throughout the countryside there telling the townsfolks that the British were on their way. But these colonial militiamen, they weren't soldiers. They were just ordinary peasants. They were farmers. They were tradesmen. They were carpenters. But they were standing against the British. And as the sun came above the horizon, the British encountered this small, untrained, raggedy band of colonial patriots. They stared each other down. 700 men versus 77 men. No one knew what was going to happen, but at some point, someone fired a shot. And then the British retaliated again, and then the colonial militiamen fired back, and they started this firefight. But eventually, the British would push through this little resistance and move on to the town of Concord. At Concord, the British searched for the weapons that they had come to confiscate, but they were too late because colonists had relocated most of the supplies. At that time, it was mid-morning, and several hundred more colonial militiamen had gathered to defend the high ground near Concord's northern bridge. However, the British had posted a squad at that bridge to defend it. When I saw the colonists coming, they opened fire on these rebels, and the rebels returned fire, and eventually the British got pushed back, and they had to fall away and leave Concord and go back to Boston. Now, no one could have predicted that on that day, the impact of such a little skirmish would have such a rippling effect throughout history. It was that little small battle at Lexington and Concord that ended up precipitating the American Revolutionary War. And it was a little over a year later that the founding fathers of this nation signed a document declaring our independence from Great Britain. That was on July 4th, 1776. However, it took seven more years and many more battles until the American colonists formally secured their independence in 1783. Now, upon the completion of a memorial commemorating the battle that took place on that unsuspecting day in 1775 at Concord, Massachusetts, the famous American writer Ralph Waldo Emerson penned a few eloquent lines memorializing that most unforgettable moment in history. Regarding the Battle of Lexington and Concord that started the war, eventually culminating in the birth of this nation, Emerson wrote, "By the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled, here once the embattled farmers stood and fired the shot heard round the world." Emerson called the Battle of Concord a shot heard round the world because that one event precipitated the formation of this country and changed the course of history. That day would be a day Americans would never forget because it was the initial moment that sparked the birth of this great nation. Now, there are many events in the history that are extremely significant and that have shaped the course of history. Besides the day that Jesus died, the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, and the day that Jesus ascended, aside from those events, I don't think we can say there's another event more significant than the day that God poured out His Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Approximately 2,000 years ago, a day happened that has changed the course of history. That day will never be forgotten. It forever holds a special place in the minds of hearts of all who have repented of their sins and have been baptized into Christ and have received forgiveness of their sins. For all those who call upon the name of the Lord, the day of Pentecost will be a day that we will never forget. Let us celebrate this day, both now and in all the years to come. Thank you. Amen.